guys are awesome. Thanks for coming out tonight. Now, I am so impressed by Congressman Ryan, but I'm more impressed by his spouse, Jana. Have you? We didn't have a chance to recognize her. Here she is. I was at the breakfast table not too many days ago with my wife, Mary, my 17-year-old daughter, Anna, my 13-year-old daughter, Mara, and my 91-year-old mother-in-law. I shouldn't tell her age, but we watched a little news clip on the situation in Greece, and my 8th grader, my 13-year-old, without any provocation, without any prompting from me or anyone else, looked up from her cereal bowl and said, "That's going to be us soon." From the mouth of an 8th grader. So the situation our country faces now, I think, is just like that MasterCard commercial from a few years ago. You might remember it. You remember that voice coming up about some of the things in life? You know, you can imagine that voice coming up now. You know, the stimulus bill, $750 billion. The Wall Street bailout, $800 billion. Healthcare reform, Obamacare, $2.4 trillion. Cap and trade, $2,000 per household. Republicans and conservatives getting elected this November, priceless. Congressman Ryan has done a fabulous job for Wisconsin and for America. He said it very well, absolutely. He said it very well earlier. America is not just a piece of geography. It's a set of ideals. Those ideals include the rule of law. They include individual rights and responsibility. They include the importance of free markets. And importantly, we need to make sure that we understand the seminal, the paramount, the cornerstone importance, what the great brilliance of this nation is founded on, and that is our freedom. That is our freedom. We have a country that is a great nation, not because God made us smarter than everybody else, because we have more freedom and more liberty than any people the world has ever known. And we need to make sure But now we have a federal government that knows no limits, it seems. So we have a federal government that has a state-sponsored companies that are called too big to fail. We have a federal debt that is too big to pay off. We have a federal government that's just simply too big to succeed. And we now have national leaders who are too small to do anything about it. So I ask you, gathered here on the eve of the Republican convention in Wisconsin, have you had enough? Yeah. Now, we have individually in this state, in this nation, some rights and some responsibilities that we got to make sure that we follow. But I think there's some people in Washington who do not understand that individuals and families are the cornerstone of this nation. And what we're seeing now is a coalition of very powerful interests. We've got certain big businesses coalescing with big unions, coalescing with big government to steamroll average Americans. Yeah, and you see it every day playing out in Washington, D.C. They have joined forces into what amounts to a political Mr. Big. And it is not good for average hardworking people in Wisconsin or Minnesota or anywhere across this country. And we need to make sure we push back. These are people who do not belong to the polo club. They don't belong to the country club. They belong to Sam's Club. And there are folks. From their perspective and my perspective, what's going on in Washington is this. Wall Street gets a bailout. The poor, understandably, get a handout. Everybody else, you get your wallet out, right? That's about how it works. So I ask you again, have you had enough? Now, it's incredible. Everybody these days seems to want a bailout. I mean, I met with a very powerful woman leader the other day, a female leader of an incredibly big enterprise. I mean, they were involved in trade and economic development and finance, just about everything. And she said, you know, Governor, we are in big trouble. really big trouble. And I said, well, you know, what's the matter? What's going on? And she said, well, our balance sheet is terrible. I mean, it's just awful. It couldn't be worse. We're up to our ears in debt. There's going to be layoffs. Even she said she could lose her job. She said, nobody's buying what we're selling. And she wanted a bailout. And I said, Speaker Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi, we don't do bailouts, but if it matters to you, we're going to have a very important change come November, and we'll have a change in management. Have you had enough? Now, we need not just a change in parties, but we need a change in principles. And so we need to make sure that we don't just be the critics of President Obama and this Congress, that we also offer some positive, hopeful solutions for our country. And I want to just give you three or four quick things that we should keep in mind as we go forward. We should remind each other, and we should remind our fellow citizens of some basic principles that made this country great. Let me give you the first one. The first one is, let's remember where this all began. And so our rights, our privileges, our freedoms are given to us by our Creator, not by our member of Congress. We also have a lot of talk these days about what kind of conservative various people are. So you hear people talking about, well, I'm a Tea Party conservative. Some other people say, well, I'm a Reagan conservative. You know, some other people say, well, I'm a mainstream or common sense conservative or some other conservative. Those are all very good labels. We should embrace them all. But one that I think we should say first and foremost and remind the public of and each other is this. First, we are constitutional conservatives. Now, here's the second principle. I know it's late and it's crowded in here. This one is really hard. It's complex. Just try to hang with me here just for a minute because I know this one's difficult. You ready? We can't spend more than we have. I know, it's hard to follow. Now, in the state to your west, some people say Massachusetts is the most liberal state in the country. Massachusetts actually voted for Ronald Reagan twice. My state never did. So in my state, from 1960, the year I was born, until I became governor, by the way, that makes me 50 later this year, I got my ARP card in the mail the other day. I know. So from 1960 until I became governor, the average two-year increase in the state of Minnesota's budget, 21%. And now for the first time in that state's history, we've cut it in real terms and the first time in 150 years. We've reached a 30-year goal of getting Minnesota out of the top 10 in taxes. Every governor said they're going to do it for 30 years. Nobody did. We did. We got teachers moving from seniority pay to performance pay. We got market-based health care reforms. And much more. I share that with you, not to brag or to be immodest, but to tell you this point. If we can make those kinds of movement, conservative, transformative changes in the state of Minnesota, the land of Eugene McCarthy, the land of Hubert Humphrey, the land of Walter Mondale, the land of Paul Wellstone, and now the land of United States Senator Al Franken. As Frank Sinatra would sing about New York, if we can do it there, we can do it anywhere across this whole country. The second principle is real easy. A third principle is real easy. And again, stick with me, please. People spend money differently if some of it's their own money. Now, if you don't believe me, just watch people's behavior around an open bar. I mean, they behave a little differently when they're paying versus somebody else is paying. That same principle, whether it's in healthcare, education, or the like, has to apply. Let me give you one quick example. We said to our state employees in Minnesota, for your healthcare, you can go anywhere you want, but you choose to go somewhere really, really expensive with bad results, you're paying more. Guess where they go? 90% of them migrated to higher quality, lower cost healthcare providers, and our insurance increases in that program for the state employees almost 0% for 5 years cumulatively. And then lastly, this principle, I know it's also complicated, but bear with me. Bullies respect strength, not weakness. So when it comes to the national security interests of the United States of America, we need to make sure we project strength. And here's just one measure of many of the misdirection of this current administration. When you have the president of France lecturing the United States of America on the dangers of appeasement, you know we have entered a new and dangerous era for national security policy in the United States of America. And this won't be easy. We got a lot of work to do between now and November, but a lot isn't easy in life. When I was first running for governor in Minnesota, I came home from after 10 years in the legislature, 4 years as majority leader. I said to my wife, Mary, you know, honey, I don't think I'm going to run again. We've done what we can for our state. It's time to move on and do other things, turn the page. And she came across the room and grabbed me by the lapels. And she said, you're not done. You got to get in there and fight. This state needs you. They're going to turn back everything you fought for, everything we believe in. You got to fight for this. And I thought, I'm Rocky Balboa. This is Adrian. And so I got in there, and Jesse Ventura was thinking about still running back then. It looked like an uphill battle. I won against all odds, but about 3 or 4 months into my governorship, Mary and I were having a little disagreement about my schedule. We had young kids back then. I was gone a fair amount, and understandably, she was concerned. And I said to her, after listening to her, it was a little tense discussion, I said, but honey, don't you remember? I mean, you gave me that speech in the entryway. I was inspired by it. It's one of the main reasons I run. You told me to do this. And then there was this awkward pause in the room. And she looked at me and she said, yeah, but I didn't think you could win. She said, I just wanted you to get it out of your system so we could get on with the rest of our life. So a year or two ago, people wrote us off. They said the conservatives were riding off into the sunset, that we had no chance, that the conservative movement was demographically and intellectually dead, not to be seen or heard from again. And boy, were they wrong. And now what's in front of us is the election of our lifetime to take back control of this country, to elect people who believe in limited and effective government. And if freedom were easy, everybody would be free. If security were easy, everybody would be secure. If prosperity were easy, everybody would be prosperous around the world. But they're not. And it's things that we have to be vigilant about. We have to defend. We have to protect. We have to be willing to fight for it. And opening up the West wasn't easy. Walking on the moon wasn't easy. Valley Forge wasn't easy. And neither were any of the other great moments or great challenges that this country has faced. But at every turn, at every time, strong people, wise people, people of good values who understood what made this nation great rose up, fought, and said, this is worth fighting for. We're going to take this country back. And that's what this election this fall is about. So thank you for coming tonight. I appreciate it. I'm right next door. If you need any help, give me a call. I'm only an hour or so away, but I'm so proud to have met some of your candidates today. Reince is one of the, well, I think he is, the best state party chairman in the United States of America. And let's go out and win this election this November. Thank you very much. God bless Wisconsin. God bless Minnesota. God bless the Minnesota Vikings. And God bless America.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.